Holding Vav and Medbez on the two dots, about six lines down. Omar Mar, Zui Rushas Rabim. So again, we're quoting a brisa that was listed on Amud Aleph. It listed the different qualities of a Rushas HaYachid. Now, then it went ahead and it listed the different qualities of a Rushas Rabim. And it said, this is a Rushas Rabim. So what does it mean, this is a Rushas Rabim? Zui Rushas Rabim. Says the Gemara, it's the Mi'ute, what is it coming to exclude? The Mi'ute Idach to Rabbi Yehuda, a different din of Rabbi Yehuda. Itnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, there is a halacha that states that, in Erevin, that there was times when they used to have, in the middle of a highway, a watering hole. And all of the people used to get water from this hole. Now the problem is a hole is usually more than 10 deep, good morning, and 4 wide. So the hole itself was a Rishus HaYachid. And the people were standing in the Rishus HaRabim, they would drink. And they would go from Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. So because of that, good morning. So because of that, what they used to do was, we just got on the right. Because of that, they used to create 4 L-shaped beams. Good morning. Used to create 4 L-shaped beams, and that was a kula midrabanan to treat it as a rishus yachid. So here's your highway, and they had this watering hole in the middle, which was a rishus yachid. Used to create 4 L-shaped beams like that, called the yumdin, and because each was a This would, no matter how big the distance was, I think it was maximum actually of 10 amas or 13 and a half amas, in between, that would create this to be a Rishus Yachid. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if the Rabbim go ahead and walk in between these walls, that's Mevatel the wall. Even though Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that 2 walls on the side of Rishus Yachid create a Rishus Yachid. But if Rabbim are walking through it, the highway is like this, you have this cool teenage kid slalom skiing like that. So if the Rabbim walk through it, that invalidates the wall. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is a Rishus HaRabbim. That's what the Rabbanan mean. No. A Saratia and a Palatia, Zuhi Rishus HaRabbim. This is a Rishus HaRabbim. But to the exclusion of something else, to the exclusion of Rabbi Yehuda's Rishus HaRabbim. That Rabbi Yehuda says that if the Rabbim go ahead and they walk in middle and they continue walking, so then that invalidates the Mechitza. Now, so what do you do? What's the point of it? I think what you do is you go and you go straight to the water hole. You don't like go, it's like a cut through. That's you walk, you're going in there to go in there, that's fine.
Why is that different in the other picture they're cutting through?
Because this picture has 2 walls that you're not cutting through. You only need 2 walls, says Rabbi Yehuda. So you are cutting through the Rishus HaRabbim, but there's 2 walls that you're not cutting through. That's why I drew the case here of the kid slalom skiing.
Why does he say that?
That's just what he holds. That's what he holds. He holds the misvara that a wall that you walk through is not a wall, and he holds that you only need 2 walls for Rishus HaYachid. If the Rabbim is splitting up the Mechitza, you should put arrows over here, meaning put them off to the side. Tell, have a flashing lights, road closed. You do not have to set them to the side. Why is it called Gemura? Says again, it says this is a real Rishus HaRabbim. Just say this is a Rishus HaRabbim. This is a real Rishus HaRabbim. Sends the Gemara and a Kanami. But I did the Tana Resha Gemura Tana Nami Seva Gemura. You're right. Here is Lav Dafka. It's just now since it's out of the Resha by Rishus HaYachid, saying it here too. Says the Gemara Velachshev Nami Midbar. Why don't we count the Midbar? The Hatani, we have a Brice which states that the Midbar was a Rishus HaYachid as well. Ezuhi Rishus HaRabbim. Rishus HaRabbim. Saratia upala. Saratia is this big highway. Palatia is this big plaza. Kedela umuvo oyusam ufulashin. These roads that are open on both sides. Vaha midbar. Omar ba'ilakashi kan bezman chisrael shurim b'midbar kan bezman azeh. It depends on if Klal Yisrael was Shoroi in the Midbar. It depends on if Kal Yisrael was at the time that there was 600. By the way, this is one of the Makaris that you need 600,000 people. Yeah,
why
look
are we saying that a Midbar today would not be a Rishus HaRabim?
Correct. A Midbar today is a Carmelis. Because there's so the Ketesis, Mash Mektsas, the Ein Rishus HaRabim Elim Kein Mitzuyin Sam Shishim Ribuya. This is the Makar that you need 600,000 people.
But really, it was 3 million people, wasn't it?
Correct. That's an excellent question. The Ritva asked the question right over here. And the Ritva says, but the number that we know is 600,000. 3 million is an estimation, and nobody says it. And you're right, it was definitely there. We knew there were women there. But nobody ever used that number. So we use the number that is given, which is 600,000. It wasn't exactly 600,000 either. It was 603,457 or whatever it was. But So that's the number that was given. But so nowadays when Klal Yisrael is not in the Midbar, what would be if you have a situation where Klal Yisrael goes back into the Midbar? I don't mean Klal Yisrael, but let's say you have a concert. You know, they tried to have a concert in out west, in the Midbar somewhere. I don't know if it failed or not, but you're going to have millions of people there. Yeah, that would be Kabbalah Rosh Hashanah. It depends on if it doesn't have to be Jews. If you have 600,000 people in a say, and according to some Rishonim, it means just a multitude of people, not necessarily a minimal 600,000. Okay, so it's still no gay nowadays if we ever go back to. So during that time, now, how far away do we say, like, okay, this is all midbars across the globe become because the Arabs are having something in Mecca, we're gonna be in the Sahara or in one of these deserts over here, Eishlein. Exactly how far away we say that midbars are Rishus Rabbims, but all right. Amar Mar Em Hoytzi VeHichnas B'Shoygi Chayev Chatos B'Meizu De'Enish Kares V'Niskal. If a person goes ahead and carries, or he takes out, or he brings in. If he does a b'shoygeg, he's chayav chatas. If he does a b'mezu, he's chayav kares. And skila. B'shoygeg, says the Gemara, he's chayav chatas. Pshita, of course. Why not? Says the Gemara, b'mezu, the enesh kares, v'niskal itzrichale. The chiddush is that if he does a b'mezu, he gets kares and skila. Says the Gemara, hanami pshita, we don't know that Shabbos is chayav skila. Says the Gemara, hakamashman kederav. The chiddush is like Rav. The Amar Rav. Rav says, matzasi megillah storim bei Rebbe.
You can get Two death punishment?
So kares is not necessarily a death punishment, but it means that if a person does it with edim, he gets skila. If he does it without edim, it's only kares. That's what it means. So hakamashman kederav, the amarav matzasi megillah starim bei Rebbe. I found the hidden scrolls of Rebbe Chia. See, back in the day, this that we have Torah written down is actually a big chiddush. Halacha is you're not allowed to write this Torah shebe ksav, Torah shebe al peh. All these svarim are really aser, deoraisa. Nonetheless, Chazal at the time of before the Mishnayos saw that people were starting to forget the Torah, and they realized that if things continue as they will, we're not going to have anything. So they did Eis Lasas Hashem. They allowed ourselves to go ahead and write down the Torah. So first, but before that time, first Rebbe only wrote the Mishnayos, which is a concise. Everything was hidden in the Mishnayos. Then they decided to take it a step further. They hid everything in the Gemara, which is slightly more elaborate. Then, once that broke down, then the Gaonim wrote things, and that was it. Everybody decided to write their own Chedushim. Until, of course, you have the story with the Netziv, who's, and Rav Yeshua's add-on. The story of the Netziv? Netziv wasn't the greatest kid when he was a boy. And he's running around, and finally they decided to send him to become an apprentice. And he heard, like, I'm gonna go become a shoemaker. So he decided he's gonna start learning. And later on in life, when he wrote at his farm, he's like, do you realize I would have come to Shemayim? They would have said, I was an Erlich Yid. And they would have said, but where's your Sfarim? And I would have been, what Sfarim? So. But I wouldn't have realized I would have had, like, tons of shoes, and, like, I wouldn't have had any Sfarim. Nowadays, Rav Yeshua said that you're going to have these people who write Sfarim, and Hashem's going to be like, where are all your shoes? You have, but it used to be that you weren't allowed to write down any Sfarim. So what they used to do was, so just to help them remember like you know, those who had harder memory, used to write down a small scroll, nobody was looking, and keep it under their seat. So this way, it was mutter to do that, because it wasn't there to teach other people, it was just there to help them remember until they got it into their heads. That's what's called Megillah Storim, the hidden scrolls. That was mutter. It was only usher to have it as a sefer on the shelf, like, you know, you're learning from it. If you did it just as small notes, that was mutter. It was called Megillah Storim. Again, until the Mishnayos came along, and then they were mater Gemara, and then once that was mutter, everything became mutter. After that, we have the Ge'onim, all the Rishonim, the Achronim. So I found in the Megillah Storim by Rav Chiya. So this is before the Mishnayos were put out. Rav Chiya was around Rebbe's time. So before the Mishnayos were put out, I found one of the hidden scrolls. The Kasuv Ba, and it said in there, Isi ben Yehuda Eimer, Avos Melachos Mem Chasar Achas. There are 40 minus 1, 39 Melachos. Ve'ein Echayev Ela Achas. And yet, you're only Chayev on one. Says the Gemara, you're only Chayev on one. But this was a conversation that is already mafurish in the Mishnayos. Ani, but not avos melachos mem chasar achas. The havinan ba, and we asked minyan alamali, why do you need a count? Shkayach, I'm able to count to 39. Va'amar Rabbi Yechanan sheim asoin kulam behelam echas. And Rabbi Yechanan said the reason why the Mishnah gives you the number, even though we're able to count, is because to teach you that if you do all 39 chayev al kol achas achas, you're chayev on all 39. So Ella Ema says the Gemara, it must be what Isi meant in those hidden scrolls is Ein Chayev al Achas Mehen. You're not Chayev on one of them. That there is one Melacha that if you were to do it, and here both Rashi and Tosafos speak out that we're switching from Chatas to Skila, that if you do it, they have their proofs, that if you do it, you are Chayev, that you are not Chayev Skila. That means there's one Melacha, let's say tying your shoe with an Isidir Isa. So in an Isser form. So if you were to do you would do one of the malachos, there's one of them that's not Chayav Misa. So what's the chiddush? That carrying is not that one. Ha-kamash milan, this b'rais, when it says that your Chayav Skila is to teach you that ha-mehanach, this, ha-this, is mehanach, is from these, the loy misapkan, that we are not mesubik about. I don't think we're asking like this. We don't know which one it is. But it's not carrying. As a big chiddush, because I don't think we're passing like this. The Rambam brings down, there are 39 melachos, and you're chayav misa on them. Now, if it was true that you're not chayav misa on one of them, then how could you be chayav misa on any of them? Oh, the only one you'd be able to be chayav on is carrying. You won't be able to be chayav on any others, because you'll be mesupik. From the fact that the Rambam doesn't bring it down, makes me think, and of course the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about chayav misa, so you can't bring a raya from him. But the one or two halachas farm that we do have from the Rishonim that discuss chayav misa don't speak about this. So I would feel comfortable saying that we don't paskin like this Isi ben Yehuda. It's only going to be negei when Mashiach comes, so we can ask him instead of asking me. But that's what I would say.
Rav had, like you're saying, Megillah Storim of Ella, and then Rabbi Yechon said it was an ayin on the aleph, so it's al, without the aleph.
No, it's what happened? Yeah, I guess it was written wrong. Rabbi Yechon didn't say anything. We borrowed from Rabbi Yochanan's conversation on that different Mishnah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we re-understood what this Megillah said. Alright, so interesting. I was just going to make a joke about Megillah Storim, because like we just finished Purim and everybody says Megillah means to uncover. And so Megillah Storim, the uncovered scroll, but then it's almost like Megillah's Esther. Okay. Interesting. I'm sure somebody can do something with that on Purim. Omar Mar, Aval Yam. The next line in the Braisa is Yam, a Yam, which is a sea, Ubika, which is a large open plain. Istavnis was that word, the stuv that we had before, which is the benches in front of the stores, the place where it's set aside for the shopkeeper himself. The Carmelis. And the Carmelis, the Gemara is going to say, what's that? These are all Carmelises. These are all Carmelises. Einon, they are not like Rishus HaYachid, like Rishus HaRabim. They are not like Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. By the way, as an aside, the name Carmelis, Tosafos says, is it comes from the word, this is Machlekes, Tosafos and the Rambam. Tosafos says on Omar Aleph, it comes from the word Loi Lach, the Loi Yavesh. It comes from the word Carmel, which is a type of grain, which is in its ripe state. So it's not dry and it's not too full. So too, this is not Rishus HaRabim and it's not Rishus HaYachid. And Rambam says that it's like an armalis, which is like an almana. So she's not married, but she's not a basula. I mean, both of those are very hard to understand, because why didn't it say parav, which is not milchik, it's not plesik, or red, it's not black, it's not white. I don't understand, but I was just thinking about that. It's a funny name. So v'hakarmelis einan leikarishus hayachad. The Rashi back on Gimel said Carmelis is a forest, because that, he says, is a place where people don't walk, but it's not a Rishus HaYachad. So that I understand. Carmelis is a forest. He cites a pasuk, so then I understand that. So that's one of the examples of Carmelis. It's a place where people don't walk, but at the same time, it's not a Rishus HaYachad. But the way Tesis and the Rambam says, I have a hard time understanding.
Why do they say Malchus is 40 minus 1?
It's dealt with. Everybody has their own mahalach. You would have thought that. This one, halfway, I had this one. It is dealt with. Not here, though. It's going to be dealt with in the seventh parak. Not anyways by the Gemara. We're not going to see it. It's not a part of it. Maybe the notes will bring it down. Look in the notes in the seventh parak. I bet you they'll say something. I don't have any. I don't remember any teretz offhand, but there's like 100 teretz. Aval yam ubika v'istanas v'kamelot ena lekrus yachar v'lekrus yachar ubika ena lekrus yachar v'lekrus yachar v'rabim v'hatanan. It's the Gemara says a bika, a flat plain, is not like Rishus Rabbim, not like Rishus Yachad Vatnan. Habika b'yemoisa chama is Rishus Hayachad l'Shabbos, Rishus Rabbim l'Tuma. A open plain during the summer months is a Rishus Hayachad with regards to Hilchas Shabbos, and it's a Rishus Rabbim with regards to Hilchas Tuma. There's a din that if a person has a suffik tuma, meaning he's not sure if he brushed by, let's say a person is in Malchus Yisrael, he's not sure if he brushed by a girl. I'm not sure. So did our skin touch or not? So she's probably Anida. We assume all basulas are Anidas. Are you now tame for touching Anida? Not that it makes a big deal, because we don't eat truma anyways, but if you eat truma, if you want to go into the higher bias, like they have these tours, you have to go back to the mikveh. Hey, it's very nogea. So a person goes into the higher bias and there's a girl in his tour group. Not that you should ever do on these tour groups, but, and you by mistake brush against her. You have to go again to the mikveh. So, if you touch her clothes, not. But if you touch her, yeah. So, what's the din? So it's a suffolk. It depends where the suffolk happened. If the suffolk happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so there's a playbook for this. The halacha is that if the suffolk happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're tahor. The suffolk happened in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you're tummy. Midiorais, we go with this. And so the Gemara says that a flat, open plain during the summer months when people walk through it has the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. However, if you may say Gishamim during the winter months when. Well, no, for a flat, with regards to Tumah, has a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Yeah. Because people walk through it during the summer months. But during the winter months, while the grain is growing, and therefore people don't walk through it, they don't want to hurt the farmer's produce, so Rosh Hashanah Yachid L'Kana has its status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid because people don't walk there. And with regards to Tumah, it doesn't depend on people being there or not. It doesn't depend on walls or not walls. It depends on if people are there. For example, if you're in the United Center, so there's hundreds of people there. Well, not anymore, but there should be hundreds of people there. So then it's a rishus rabbim, even though it has walls. With regards to Shabbos, it's a rishus hayachid. You pick something up in the night, and you can walk from one side to the other side because you're in the same building. But with regards to hilchas tuma, it's a rishus rabbim. However, now that there's nobody there, it's a rishus hayachid. It depends on if people are there. Nafkamina, if you're in rishus hayachid by night, is that considered rishus hayachid? Let's say you're in downtown. Chicago shuts down by night. So you're on the Michigan Avenue, nobody there. It's Yitachin that you're Rosh Hashanah Yachad.
So you're saying that Shabbos is dependent on the Hitzas?
Yes.
And dependent on the people?
Correct.
So then why is this field, this Bika, Rosh Hashanah Yachad for Shabbos?
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah. Seasons. Excellent question. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara's asking, why is it Rosh Hashanah? You're telling me a Bika is a Rosh Hashanah, is a Carmelis. I have a Bryce which says a Bika is Rosh Hashanah Yachad. Doesn't change with the seasons, the Rosh Hashanah both.
Right.
So that's the question. I thought it depends on Mechitzos. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is depending on Mechitzos. And you're telling me a Bika is a Carmelis. I have a Bryce which says the Bika is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Amar Ula, La'olam Carmelis have you. Yeah, it really is a Carmelis. V'amai kari la Rosh Hashanah Yachid. L'fisha ein Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Really, it's imprecise. It meant to say karmelis, but it said it was using the word karmelis. So it said it's a rishus ha-yachid, because it meant that it's not a rishus ha-rabim. That's teretz number one. Ravash yomer, you're going to islam mechitzis. It's talking about that this bika has mechitzis. That's the answer. You thought we were talking about a bika without mechitzis. No, it's a bika with mechitzis. V'chihada amar ula amar b'yechanan, like ula amar b'yechanan said, karfif, yoysim b'yisosayim, if a person has a karfif, a large area, karfif is a large area, a large backyard, a large place that you store things, which is bigger than Beis Osayim, shaloi hukaf ladira, that you do not, it doesn't open to your dira, it's not used as a playground for your kids or whatever. Afilu korb, afilu karayim, even if it is huge, hazorik l'toichai chayef, if somebody throws something into it, it's still a rishus hayachid, because it has mechitzas. But nevertheless, we call it a karmelis. My time is mechitza, it's a mechitza. Ela shemechuseras diurin, it is missing people who live there. So now, Bishlam Rav Ashi lo yamar kedu ula. I can understand how Rav Ashi didn't say like ula, because it's not a gishmak ateretz. It says rishus ayachid. You're going to tell me it really means karmelis. It just didn't mean rishus ayachid. It's not a gishmak ateretz. So I can understand why Rav Ashi didn't say like ula. Ela ula, my time lo yamar say. Why didn't ula say that this bika in this brisa is talking about one with mechitzas and it really means a karfe?
Does that mean that the karmelis actually has walls or?
So we're saying now that when it says bika in the second brisa, it means a karmelis with walls.
Okay.
It means a flat plane with walls. And the chiddush is that a flat plane with walls, if it's too big, has a din of a karmelis. It's called a karfef. This is very nogeya, by the way. Because anything, let's say, anything that is big walls, that's an enclosed area, you can't, if it's too big, you can't make it into a rishus hayachid. For example, there's a big field by Skokie. If you were to enclose that field by itself, even with regular walls, you can't carry in there. Has to be open to a dorm room. Has to be open to a diurin. If it's bigger than a berach football field. Because it has to be open. You can't have just a flat plane and consider that rishus hayachid. Midir Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made a gzir because it looks too big. It looks like a rishus rabbim.
So it's get to say it's a karmelis, this big field of mechitza.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't the Gemara say if you throw into it, you chayev?
Because it really is a rishus hayachid. If you're standing in rishus rabbim and you throw into it, you just violated an issur d'oraisa. The Rabbanan came along and they said, oh, treat it like a karmelis, but not lakula. They said treat it like a karmelis, meaning you can't walk in it. But they didn't say that it's not a rishus hayachid. They don't have the power to do that. I mean, they do, but they didn't do it.
Okay.
So Elu'ula, so Amar Lecha, Ide Islay Mechitzas, because he said, if it has Mechitzas, it's no longer called a Bika. Bika's a flat open plane. Bika Karla? Karfefi, it's a whole different word. And so I don't like your teretz either, says Ula to Ravashi. And Ravashi responds, Ravashi, Omar. Ravashi, Rishus Ayachid Katani. It says Rishus Ayachid. So, you're a bigger doichik than you're a bigger doichik than this one. The way I said it, you're a bigger doichik, answers a question from Rabbi Kivager. Because if you look on the side, that little BMW sign there says, is Rabbi Kivager, who asks that Rishus Ayachid Katani. Well, he says, I'll find you a bunch of Mishnayos that say Rishus Hayachid and really mean Karmelis. It's not the first time it's happened. It's a common miss. So Reb Kivager asks that question. So the way I said it over, which is that, yeah, it could happen, but it's just what's more probable of a Deichik? That's what Reb Ashi meant to say back. Yeah, it could happen, but it's just more probable to say my doichik than your doichik. I'm not saying it's impossible. Okay. V'akarmelis, says the Gemara, v'akarmelis. The last thing on the list was a karmelis. Says the Gemara, atu kulhu nami lav karmelis, isn't it who? Everything was a karmelis up until here. Ki asur avdimi amr b'echna l'nitzvuchay elu l'keren zoves, hasmuch l'urshus arabim. It's coming to include a keren zoves, which is open to urshus arabim. Meaning, sometimes you have... See, we also have to understand that the rishus rabbim that we deal with, you know, we don't really have this situation. But if you can imagine, sometimes after you're leaving, let's say, a crowded area, and you're walking with throngs of people, or let's say if you're ever in the airport at a really crowded time. So it's good to keep those times in. Here's the Rishus Rabbim. Now they didn't have cars back then, so it wasn't like, but they had throngs of people walking. So if your people had houses, a bunch of houses, and then one guy's house. So here's a bunch of houses and one guy's house. He's the guy. He's like the funny guy on the block. He built his house like this. So there's Karen Zavises. There are corners. Now, if there's throngs of people, sometimes people mill about over here. You know, you need to stop to tie your shoes, so you like get out of the way of the crowd or whatever. You need to change your kid's diaper or whatever. So it's off the Rosh Hashanah a drop, off like the regular street, the regular flow of people. But so that's what it is. So the afal. So it says the Gemara. That's a caramelist. The Karen Zavis has smuch Rosh Hashanah, a corner that's next to Rosh Hashanah. The Afal Gav, even though the Zimn and the Dachki be Rabbim, sometimes the Rabbim are pushed into there. Va'ayli legave, Zimn and the Dachki, it's very squishy. Va'ayli legave, and they're pushed into there. Kevin de loynichatesh mishte, since it's not easy to use, you have to like go out of the flow, then ki caramelist dama, it's like a caramelist. Ki also Rav Dimi Amar Be'echinen, bein ha'amudim nitin ki caramelist. Rav Dimi, the name of Rav Be'echinen, said, bein ha'amudim nitin ki caramelist. Amudim are, you know how you have in the Chinatown and in the airport, sometimes you have these, or even in Target, you have these stands. And they have glasses on them, you twirl them around, and postcards and little tchotchkes that you twirl around. So people put their, so you have sometimes 15 of them. So you're able to walk amongst them. And it is place for the rabbim. It's just not easy to walk. You have to, like, you know, maneuver your way around and make sure you don't drop anything. Generally, if you have a kid with you, you spend about 15 or 20 minutes replacing all the lower end, the tchotchkes back on the thing, and apologizing to the store owner. So that's the situation over here of Bein Ha'amudim. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Bein Ha'amudim, even though it's right off the here's a store, let's say, and he has a bunch of amudim over here. And so that area is a caramelist. Because you can't walk quickly over there. You have to maneuver your way around to not knock off the glasses.
And it's extending into the...
It could either way, it's extending into, let's say, by the airport. You know, it's just off the main part. Whether it's extending into it or whether it's into his store, even though both sides might be Rosh Hashanah, the point is that area is not easy to walk in. Bein Ha'amudim is Nidin Kikarmelis. My time, it says Afal Gav de Darzi Barabim, even though people do walk there, but Kevin de Lo Mistikulu Ha'ya Behedya, since you can't walk there straight, it's Kikarmelis Tami. You have to walk there with the Zahiris. To walk there carefully. Amar Zera, Amar Yehuda, it's Tiva Shilifne Hamudim. Now, this is the same thing as that stove we saw before. This little area in front of the Amudim where the guy sits, that's Kikarmelis, Nidin Karmelis. So now there was this like little bench area over here where the guy sat. That was definitely not easy to walk on. Says the Gemara, one second, if you're going out of your way to tell me that the Itzdiva is a Karmelis, that must mean you hold that the Bein Hamudim is a Rishus Rabbim. The one who says that Bein Hamudim is considered a Karmelis in between these stands, then certainly the Itzdiva, Kol Shekin Itzdiva. However, the one who says L'man D'Amar Itzdiva, it's going to be Itzdiva who deloy Nichatesh Mishteh. The Itzdiva is the one because it's not easy to use. But Avo Bein Hamudim to Nichatesh Mishteh, even though you can't walk straight, but since it's easy to use, there's a difference between walking straight and easy to use. Kevin de Nichatesh Mishteh, loy, it's not a Rosh Hashanah. It's not a Karmelis. Lishnachwin, another version, Al Bein Hamudim to Zimn in the Daisy Barabim. Not that it's easy to use, but sometimes people have to go there. Krishna's Ram Damya. So we have three different Kedarim given by this Gemara. Zimn in the Daisy Barabim. Nichatesh Mishteh, Mistigla Behedya, depending on how you paskin, will depend on if this area is Rosh Hashanah. So if you could just imagine, let's say, you know, a time that, let's say during in the airport, there are certain parts of the walkway that are slightly annoying because they're so small and whatever. But, and if you were going there at 12 at night and the main walkways are totally open, you use that one, you don't use that one. But if there's a lot of people there, then you have to squeeze into this places. So it depends. Rosh Hashanah will depend on all of these different versions of Mistigele Rabbim, Nichatash Mishteh, Darsi Be Rabbim. You know, you have to, we need the statisticians and the actuaries to discuss exactly what numbers equal a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim based on these four different definitions we have over here. Okay. If you take times like now into account. I mean, or do you say generally? For example, I was just in the airport in Eretz Yisrael, and was, I would say, 80% emptier than normal. Of course, not on my flight, but.
But
he walks straight. It's easy to walk.
That's different than.
Yeah, they're all different. Tishmi, they're all different. One is easy to walk. Nicha Tishmishte. Mystik Lebehadi means it's walking straight. Nicha Tishmishte is easy to. It's okay to walk there. It's difference walking straight and easy and Nicha Tishmishte.
What's the difference?
No, one is. It's just a different definition. One is I have a straight path straight ahead of me. I see straight. Over it. Now, I could be that I have to go like this and go like that, but it's easy to do. It could be in other words, in between the amudim, I'm able to walk. It's not like I have to. It's just I have to slalom, go around, go back and forth. It's not mystically behedja. It's not like a brand. It's not like a wide sidewalk that I'm walking straight. According to that version, you need to have a wide open sidewalk. You can't have to have obstacle here, obstacle there. Masha Enke and the other man, Damahos, no, even obstacles, so long as you're able to walk with no hinder, even if you have to avoid obstacles, it's still considered. Rosh Hashanah.
The Rosh Hashanah is basically owned by the city. It's owned by everyone.
What? Or okay. Nobody, yeah.
So the shop owner that puts, or the house owner who puts stuff out into the,
mm-hmm.
the area that's not his.
Yeah.
He's deciding to make.
First of all, it doesn't have to be that it's not open.
He's extending his house into the his property into the Rishus Arab.
Two comments. Number one, it doesn't have to be that it's owned by everybody. It could be it's owned by nobody. If you go ahead and park your car on you're driving and you see you pull off onto the side of a kid has to go to the bathroom. You pull off the side of the road. You're walking onto somebody's land. It's nobody's land. I'm saying it's middle of Nevada. It's nobody's land. You're allowed to go on the side of the road. It doesn't have to be that it's your trespassing. That's A. And B, I don't even have to say it like that. You could say that every area over here is technically owned by the store owner. For example, the grass in front of your house is owned by you.
No.
But,
It's owned by me until the sidewalk, which is owned by the city.
I know.
And then past that, although I'm supposed to cut the lawn, I can't make any changes.
You can't make changes with that. I think it might be only. But either way, let's say every single area here is owned by the store owner in front of them.
Okay.
So, but they leave it open, and you go ahead and you put your things there. I mean, it doesn't have to be that it's not owned by you. If you go ahead and let people walk on your path, and I think it could become a rishus rabim if there's no mechitzas, ownership is not a factor.
Okay.
You can have a whole city that's owned by one person. I'm saying. Okay, Amar Rabba Barav Shila. Amar Rav Chista. Levena Zakufa Brishas Nugamar. Levena Zakufa Brishas Rabbim. If you have a brick that is upright in Rishas Rabbim, so I think it just means a brick in Rishas Rabbim. Vizorik, you throw it, Vitach Befaneha, and it lands on its side. So here's your Rishus Rabbim. A side view is a brick, and you throw it at the side of the brick, and it lands over here. So Rash explains some sort of like sticky object, like a fat fig. Chayev, al gaba, but if it lands on top of it, you're putter. Abai v'rova d'amri t'vai, v'hu shekavoya shloshim, that's only if it's three tefachim high. Because then people don't step on it. But if it's less than three tvachim, then people will step on it. So it is Rishus Rabbim. Even on top of it would be chayv. Aval says Rashi, says Abai and Rava, hizmi vehigi, thorn bushes and thistles. Aval gav de loy gvihi shloisha. Even if it's not three high, people still don't step on it. Chiyah barav Omar no. I feel he's me vehiki. Rashi explains, no, people do step on thorns and thistles. They wear shoes. You step on thorns and thistles. But I'll be masking to you about soya not. Excrement, feces in the street. There are people who won't step on it. For Vashi, I'm not feeling soya. I'm not sure if Vashi argues. I'm not sure how he's arguing. What is he saying? Does he say, even soya people step on? Or does he say that even if you don't step on it, I disagree with your whole thing? If it's Rosh Hashanah all around and there's one spot that people don't step on, it's still Rosh Hashanah. I'm not sure what his lamdas is. Nafkamina would be, let's say, a landmine. You have a landmine there, absolutely nobody steps on. So, if the svara is that people step on tzoya also, so then people don't step on landmines, and those who do are no longer people. But if the svara is because everything, it's all Rosh Hashanah, you can find one spot that people didn't step on, so then, so much of the lamdas. What do they say on the bottom? Do they say anything? Anybody? They have a, what?
I don't know.
They don't say anything?
They might
ask. Okay. Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what the lumdus is. It's important to know, obviously, the lumdus always, because you can't ask anything without the lumdus. But I don't know the lumdus over here. Rashi just quotes it. Rashi Amar Filutzaya. So on the page, I don't have any indication of what he holds. On my rabbi,
why is it possible? Is this brick not mature?
That's the point. The point is that people don't step on a brick that's three high. But less than three, they do. But thorns, you don't. Says the Gemara, yeah, you do. You're wearing shoes. That's the next mandamar. Rashi says, but yeah, you do. You're wearing shoes. But tzoya, people don't step on. And Rashi says, yeah, you do. So what does he say, yeah, you do? That's my question.
Yeah, we didn't give the dimensions of the brick. We're assuming it's less than 4x4 tefachim. All the criteria would be enough of the
It's not mukach. Why? It's not mukach. Because all it says is putter. It doesn't say that you're mutter. If it's 4x4, it'll be a karmelis. If it's less than 4x4, it'll be a makom p'tur. But it's not a rishus rabim. That's the point.
It has to do with stepping on it, because he brings down in the footnote, it has to do with lavud. Anything less than 3 tefachim is lavud to the ground.
That's by bricks.
Even so. He brings it down under the Ravashi.
Well, that's what I wanted to see. What does he say?
Oh, very good. So he brings over here from a Meiri that the Yisoid is the second Yisoid that I was saying. That has, even if people don't step on it, he argues on the whole idea. Meiri. I have to check him up. We can't just believe him, but at least he talks about it. Because Rashi ben Avin Zakedish. Shar 3. Or Chaim 3, 4, 5, 10.
Let's see what Or Chaim 3, 4, 5, 10 says. I kind of find it hard to believe that, actually. Or Chaim 3, 4, 5. That's the one thing we don't have here. Okay. All right. So Art Scroll says in the name of the Meiri and the Rajba that the Yisoid of Ravashi is the second way we were saying it. That everything that's low, it has nothing to do with stepping on it. Now, if Kamina is a landmine, would also go ahead and be considered a Rishus Rabim. So if you throw a tissue on a landmine, Lamashal, so you don't expect it to blow up, Alpha Pekin, it's still going to be Chayev. Yes?
Are you throwing a brick?
Nope, you're throwing something onto a brick. Okay, let's continue on. Ki also Rav Dimi ain't kamas b'chus merba. Yeah, Amar Abba the Beir of Shila. Ki also Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yechanan ain't kamalas b'chus merba. There's kamalas is not less than 4. In other words, it has to be 4x4. Amar Rav Sheshes v'tefeses ad asar, and it goes only up to 10. What does that mean? My v'tefeses ad asar. What does it mean? It only goes up to 10. Ilema, if you say diika mechitza asar, that if there's a mechitza that's 10 high, that's the karmelis. Who'd have a karmelis? V'iloy loy have a karmelis. Now Rashi explains that we're talking about those karmelis that we talked about before, the ones that are really a rishus ayachid. So if you're telling me that they only have when it is a karmelis, only when it has a mechitza asara, v'loy, is that true? V'amar of Gidol, amar of Chiyabar Yosef, amar av baya she'in b'toychei asara. We have a house that the inside is not 10 high, the kiruya of mashlim al asara, and its roof completes the 10 high picture. So al gagoy, on the roof, where it's mutal tatal b'kulay, it is a rishus hayachet, and it is permitted to carry over the entire roof. B'toychei, but once you're inside of it, ain metatlin by elo daladamas, you're only allowed to carry daladamas because inside of it has a status of a karmelis. Because if you look from the inside, there's only mechitzas of 9. So we see you could be a karmelis even less than 9, even less than 10. Elamai says the Gemara tefeses ad asara. What does it mean that it goes up till 10? The Adasar would have a Carmelis, the Malamis are talking about having a Carmelis. That up until 10 has a status of a Carmelis, higher than that, it's not a Carmelis. The Chihada Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, like Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, smart one. Like the Havi Bamili, the Shabbos, the Malamis are things with regards to Hilchah Shabbos don't exist higher than 10. What does that mean? Lamai Hilchasa. Ilem et ein Rishasa Yachid, Lamai Lamai Asar. If you say there's no Rishasa Yachid higher than 10, that can't be. Vam Rav Chista no atzkana b'Rishasa Yachid. If somebody drills or stabs a reed into Rishasa Yachid, and you throw something on top of it, Vizarek v'nocha kaba, v'afilu k'vaya me'ama, even if it's a high 100 amas, chayev. V'bnei shir Rishasa Yachid, oyla adla rakiya. Rishasa Yachid goes up to the sky. Ella says the Gemara the Ain Rishas Harabim Lamaila Miyasara. The Chiddush is to teach you that Rishas Harabim doesn't go up till 10 high, past 10 high. Says the Gemara that we also know already. It's a Mishnah. It's Nan Hazarik Dalad Amas Bekoisel. Somebody throws 4 Amas at a wall. Again, some sort of like sticky object, like a sticky hand or a fat fig. Lamaila Miyasara Tvachim. If it lands higher than a 10 Tvachim, even though it landed in Rishas Harabim, because it's in the airspace of Rishas Harabim, nevertheless, it's Kazarik Ba'avir. It's like you threw it in the middle of the air. But lematim isar tvachim, if it lands less than 10 tvachim off the ground, it's kazurik baritz, it's like it landed on the ground. Ella says the Gemara, a carmelis. It's talking about, this halacha was that with regards to carmelis. The ain carmelis, the ma'ilam yasara, a carmelis is not higher than 10. The akilu barabanan mikulu rishis yachir and mikulu rishis rabim. The rabbanan gave it the leniencies of rishis yachir and the leniencies of rishis rabim. Mikulu rishis yachir, it's the leniencies of rishis yachir because rishis yachir is 4x4. The iika makim arba, if it has 4x4, that's a karmelis. Who the have a karmelis? The iloi, but if it's less than that, it's a makim ptur ba'almahu. It's only a makim ptur. And mikulu rishis rabim has the coolest of rishis rabim. The adasar tvachim, who the have a karmelis. That until 10 tvachim, it has a status of a karmelis. The ma'ilam isar tvachim, it doesn't have a status of a karmelis. Now, so we're saying we're taking the coolest of Rishus Yachar and the coolest of Rishus Harabim. Now, Rishus Harabim, said yesterday, needs to have 16 Amas. So, Fakert, it would have been a bigger cooler to take Rishus Harabim than Rishus Yachar. That's why I told you yesterday, that keep in mind that Rashi says that 16 Amas only by the third example of Rishus Harabim. The other examples of Rishus Harabim do not have any minimum size. If you can somehow find a Palatia that is 14 Amas by 14 Amas, it's also a Rishas Harabim. Usually you won't find it. You're not going to come and advertise a flea market that's the size of a flea. But at the same time, you generally will expect it to be bigger, but you don't need it to be bigger. That was Diak and Rashi that would answer this question. Rishas Harabim has no minimum shear. Rishas Yachid has a minimum shear of 4. So we took the coolest of Rishas Harabim and the coolest of Rishas Yachid. Gufa, Amrav Gidal, Amrav Chia Bar Yosef, Amrav Baya She'in Teche Asar V'Kiruyev Mashlim Ela Asar. You have a house that is not 10 high on the outside, on the inside, but its roof is Mashlim L'Shir till 10 high. The halacha is Mutal L'Tatal B'Kulay, it is permitted to carry in the entire house. Sorry, on the top of that. Al Gagai Mutal L'Tatal B'Kulay, on the roof it is Mutar to carry on the entire roof. B'Toychai, inside the house, Eim Metatlin Bay. Inside the house, you're not allowed to carry, except Ayla B'dalad Amas, because inside has the status of Rishas Rabim, of a camel. So here's the picture. You have a house. Here's your walls. Now, if you look on the outside, it is 10 high. So therefore, this is something that's 10 high. You can carry over here. But inside, looking from the inside, it's only 9 high. And therefore, inside is not a Rishas Yachid. Says the Gemara, but if you go ahead and you drill out in the floor, 4x4, an area of 4x4, now you're able to join up the 1 here and the 9 here, and you have a total of 10. That's what Abaya says. Amar Abaya, v'imchakek by dalad adalad, if you drill out in the floor, an area of 4x4 tfachim, v'heshlimu la'asara, and you complete the required 10 tfachim wall on the inside, it's mutal talad b'kula, it's permitted to carry in the entire place. My taima, what's the reasoning? Havecher rishis ayachet, because it has a status of a rishis ayachet. Havecher rishis ayachet is kirishis ayachet, dami. And, havecher rishis ayachet, sorry. Because this becomes your ikar rishis ayachet. And everything else becomes subordinate, a whole in Rishus Yachid. For example, we know that Rishus Yachid needs to have 10 tefachim. So, what about inside this shelf over here? Is this shelf a Rishus Yachid? Well, there's no 10 tefachim here. And it's not 4x4. Oh, it's 4, but it's not 4x4. Teretz is. This room is 10 tefachim and 4x4. This becomes a hole in the room. It's a chayre rishis yachid. It becomes subordinate to the room.
Even though it's less than
da'al ba'da'al. Even though it's less than da'al ba'da'al. Well, it does, because it has to turn it into rishis yachid. So this area becomes your rishis yachid. And all the rest of the house, it could be a huge house. You can make this huge clubhouse. The rest of it becomes the holes. And this is your main rishis yachid.
So it's an extension of the main...
Exactly. The rest of the house becomes an extension of the main rishis yachid.
It's like what they say with, I forget who it was, but he puts his tefillin in there. There's some place like...
We saw in Brachos Beis Shammai put the tefillin in the walls. Right. Yeah, but...
Otherwise, why? It's not rishus.
Yeah, but over here we're discussing, you know, the names of the domains. You know,
right, but the idea is like what rishus is, that hole in the wall where you put your fillet. It would make sense to say that it's either yachid or kamet. Like,
I mean, they did used to put it there in the rishus yachid. There was that gemara. You know, we had in Brochus with Mechlikas Bisham Basil, you put it on the outside of the wall, the inside of the wall, in the Chayim over there. So that's what Abaya is. That's what Abaya is. Abaya holds that you can have, you can add up the 1 over here and the 9 over here. As an aside, very quickly, I'll tell you Mechlikas Bisham. The Tesis Yishanim, the Tesis Rosh, they learn that that's not what's happening. They learn that the outside wall is what's happening. They learn that you can't add up numbers. What's happening is the outside wall is becoming the real wall. There's a special tenai to Rishus Yachid to having airspace of 10. That's how they learn this Gemara. The way I told you the Gemara, which is that you add up the numbers, is Tosis's way. But the Rosh learns differently. It's two big nafkaminas that are very nogei lemaisa. For example, if you have a building, a regular Rishus Yachid. And on top of the building is a little air conditioner duct that runs like that, which is 8 high, let's say. Is this a Rishus Yachid or Rishus Rabbim? According to the Rush, who says that the Pshat in this Gemara is you need airspace of 10, even if you already have Mechitzas, this is not a Rishus Yachid. Because you need airspace of 10.
But it's on top of a Rishus Yachid.
But you still need airspace of 10. That's his chiddush. You need that. That's the way he learns this gemara. You need airspace of 10. You don't need, the walls are already the outside walls. The outside walls are walls, but you still need airspace of 10. That's the way the Rush learns. Taisus doesn't say you need airspace of 10, so this would be a rishus hayachid according to Taisus, and a karmelis according to the Rush. A second afkamina, so if you have a backyard, that the wall is like this. Let's say sometimes, you know, you have a flowing stream or something, rocks down the backyard, which is 1, 3, 3, another 5 amos, and you have another 5. Is this considered a rishus yachid? Is your backyard considered a rishus yachid or not? According to Taisus, that you're able to add up numbers, then yes. At the end of the day, it's 1, 3, 3, 5. That's already, it's 10 high. According to the Rush, you can't add numbers. It's got to be a straight wall. So the way they learn this Gemara has these two huge nafkaminas. Okay. My time I have a chayr rishis yachid. Chayr rishis yachid is kushis yachid. Because we have a machlekes about this. Everybody agrees that a hole in a rishis yachid has a status of rishis yachid. Chayr rishis rabim. What about a hole in rishis rabim? You know, somebody puts their shoes there or whatever. A bay amar is the status of rishis rabim. If a rav amar love rishis rabim, it's not like rishis rabim. Amar le rav la bay. Rav says to abay. Do you remember just a couple minutes ago we learned, he said, Lidi dachta amrit chay rishis rabim k'rishis rabim. So now, our Gemara is discussing the Shaila as follows. You're walking in rishis rabim, there's a wall there, here's the street, there's a little crevice in the wall there. Some people put their slurpees there or whatever. Is this considered rishis rabim or not? That place where people use. Says Abaye, yes it is. Questions Rava. Just a couple minutes ago, we learned the halacha about a person who walks in rishis rabim, and there's a little crevice in the corner there. Remember Karen Zavis? Still have it on the board. And you told me that's a karmelis. Why is this crevice that you put your slurpees or rishis rabim and this huge area here where people go and change kids, a karmelis. If you're telling me that the same way this shelf is batal to rishus harab, rishus yachid, this little crevice is batal to rishus harabim, so don't you think this corner should be batal to rishus harabim? That's Rava's question to Abaye. Amalei Rava Abaye, Lididach, according to you, that says, the Amrit, that chayr rishus harabim, that a hole in rishus harabim, has a status of rishus harabim damu. So then, Maishna, why is it any different? Mehad dechi asa rav dimi amr beyechanan, from what we just saw in Amar Aleph, le'nitzucha el karen zavis asmuch rishus harabim. He said that a karen zavis that's next to rishus harabim is a karmelis. V'tahavik chayr rishus harabim, why is it any different than that hole in rishus harabim? Answers Abaye, hasam le'nicha tashmishtei, hachanicha tashmishtei. No. That hole we explained was only there for when you got pushed in there and, you know, it wasn't easy to use. Over here, everybody uses it for their Slurpees, for their keys, for whatever. That's the conversation.
You mean you don't have to go off to Rishus Rab?
No, the question is simply how common it is to use. How common it is to use. That case over there was not Nicha Tashmish, it wasn't easy to use and it wasn't common to use. Here, for some reason, people used it.
Because it's not off the rope?
I'm not sure if it has to do with that. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm saying, for example...
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I definitely hear it.
A rest here, you know, is easier to use than
a
gas station.
Exactly. I understand that.
Because it's on the road.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure if the vart is because you don't have to divert your path. It's a nice mahalach. I hear. It's very possible. I just don't know. It's very possible that's the vart. That since you don't have to divert, maybe. Tanan, the Gemara tries again. Hazerik dalat amas b'kaisel l'mayel miyasar tvachem is kuzerik ba'aver. If a person throws 4 amas at a wall, if it lands above 10, it's like he threw it in the air. Below 10, l'matam miyasar tvachem is kuzerik ba'aretz. V'havina ba, we asked, what does it mean, my kuzerik ba'aretz? V'halei noch, it didn't land. How do you throw something at a wall? So we explained, v'amar b'yechen, b'dveila shemei nashana. We're talking about a fat fig, something sticky. Now, questions Rava. If it's true that a hole in the wall is considered a rishus harabim, why do we have to say that you're talking about something that's so strange, like a guy who throws a fat fig? In my entire life, I don't remember ever throwing a fat fig. What I do know is that I never threw a fat fig at a wall where it stuck. So it's an unusual case. Why don't we say a much more normal case, says the Gemara, where there's a little crevice in the wall, and you threw it, and it landed in the wall? That's a more normal case, because then you could say that you threw keys, you threw your shoes, you threw your baby's passy, whatever, something much more normal to throw instead of throwing fat figs. So I'm going to say it's baltashas.
Like throwing spaghetti
at once. Oh, for sure. I do remember throwing wet paper towels in bathrooms. That I remember. But the Gemara is saying it's still an unusual thing. So the Gemara says it's much more usual if you give a much more normal case. Why are you giving funny cases? So Zimnin, sometimes Mishani, like he would answer, Shiny Tzura V'chevetz the Mihadar V'asu. It's very difficult. You're right. The object that's being thrown is much more common, but the chance of getting it Dalet Amos away, Dalet Amos is 8 feet, it's better from here to the wall. The chance of getting this pen to land in a crevice... I don't know how much money I've lost in carnival shows doing that. You know, you go to the booth, you try to get it in the little bucket. There's a reason why they're offering such big prizes for getting it in. So it's true the object being thrown is much more common, but the chances of getting it in is much less common. So that's why the fat fig theory is much more common. That's the Gemara's first answer. So Zimun Mishan sometimes answers, Shani Tzor V'chevetz, objects are are hard, the Mehadar V'asa, because they bounce back. And sometimes, Zimna Mishanale, because of Les Bechor, sometimes he'll say, you know what? It's got to be talking about a wall that doesn't have any holes in it. Because I'll prove it to you. Because it says that if you throw it above the 10 marker, here's the road, if you throw it above the 10 marker and it lands above that line, it's like you threw it in the middle of the Avir. Now, if it's true that it's talking about where there was holes in the wall, so then why would it have a status of landing above 10? Why, if it lands above 10, does it have a status of landing in the Avir? It should have a status of landing in a Rishus HaYachid. Because the assumption is this wall is 4 Tvachim wide. So then, and it's landing in this crevice over here, it should have a status of a Rishus HaYachid. If anybody wants to ask, the Tosfos of Rosh just told us that you need airspace. Well, the Tosfos of Rosh asks the Kasha. So the Gemara says, Because of the last bechor, mimai mi dekatani reisha zarek lemailam esad vachem eskazarek ba'aver. It's like you threw it in the air. The isakadai dech because of the is bechor. If you say that it's talking about a wall that has a hole, amai kazarek ba'aver. Why is it as if you threw it in the air? Hanach bechor. According to you, that the way it lands is not because of the fat fig theory, but rather because it landed in a hole. So then, the very fact that it landed in a hole above 10, you have your required 10 tvachim, plus. You have it's going to so plus you have the wall is going to be 4 tefachim wide. So there you go. You just landed on something that's 4 tefachim wide, 10 high. That's a rishus layachid. You should be chayav for that. The chi tamen. If you want to say that masdis and deles beidalat adalat, and if you want to say that the Mishnah is talking about that it doesn't this crevice is not 4x4 wide. V'hamar of Yehuda, amar of Chia, zarek lemaila me'asar tefachim, v'halcha v'nacha b'chor kol shehu. We have a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. There is a machlokes in Maseches Yuma with regards to Hilchos Mezuzah. If a person has an archway that's this, so the halacha is that in order to require a mezuzah, a doorway needs to be at least 10 high and 4 wide. However, if the archway has the capacity to maintain a door that's that big, but the reality is the door is only less than that, the halacha is that since the archway has the capacity to maintain a doorway that way, there's enough brick there that you could drill out a door, Rabbi Meir says we treat it as if the doorway is that big and you need a mezuzah over here. You would taka need a mezuzah on the door. Like a person has a big doghouse, people don't know this. But if you have a big enough doghouse, you need a mezuzah on the doghouse. Whenever I say with this halacha, people are always like, what, your dog is Jewish? The answer is no! Your dog is no different than your pants. And just like your closet, if it's big enough, needs a mezuzah, so does your doghouse. So, it's a totally the opposite end. So, the Gemara says, So too over here says the Gemara, albeit it is a crevice less than dalad by dalad, but since in the wall there is space that for an imaginary cutout, according to Rabbi Meir, and Rashi explains most Mishnayos are Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnayos are Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, you should have this svara that it's as if it says dalad by dalad. Therefore, it's got to be talking about a wall that has no holes. So how did it stick? There it is, because it was the fat fig theory. You can prove from there it's talking about a wall with no holes. Have a great Shabbos.